The scripture is Matthew 16, 21 through 26. And from that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. But Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. A cowboy walked up the road to the pearly gates, where he was met by St. Peter. "Have you ever done anything of particular merit?" St. Peter asked. "Well," the cowboy thought about it, I can think of one thing. "Once I was traveling on the road to the Black Hills of South Dakota, and I came upon a gang of bikers who were threatening a young woman, and I directed them to leave her alone, but they wouldn't listen. So I approached the largest and most heavily tattooed biker and smacked him in his face, kicked his bike over, ripped out his nose ring, and threw it on the ground, and I then yelled, 'Now back off, or I'll do the same to all of you.'" St. Peter was impressed, and he leafed through the great book he held. When did this happen?" he asked. "Oh, just a couple of minutes ago." As we continue on our Lenten journey, we find ourselves on the road to Jerusalem, and Jesus has begun telling his disciples of what lies ahead when they get there. How he will undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Now the disciples are still being what I call the duh disciples, because they don't understand what Jesus is saying to them. And this comes up again and again throughout the Gospels. They just don't get it. Duh. And it's not until they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that they go from being the duh disciples to being disciples. But anyway, right now they're still duh disciples. And Jesus spoke of what was to come, how he would be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, who would condemn him to death, and then hand him over to the Gentiles, and they would mock him. They would spit upon him. They would flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. It kind of sounds like a road map, doesn't it? Plotting out every step of the way, every twist and turn, kind of like the old AAA road tick or map ticks. What were they called? Triptychs. There we go. But Jesus is determined to follow that divine roadmap, God's plan for the salvation of the world. And he's describing the perils that he's going to be facing. And Peter can't deal with such an idea. "Oh, no, you won't," he exclaims. But Jesus answers, "Yes, I will. I will lead, and you will follow." And then Jesus stuns Peter by saying, "Get behind me, Satan." How those words must have stung Peter, who was doing his best to be a good disciple. I mean, Peter would have been well aware of the reputation of Satan, the old evil foe. He would have known the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and what havoc the tempter had wrought on the whole human race. And I'm certain that Jesus would have told his disciples, his closest friends, about his experiences in the wilderness after his baptism, when he faced the tempter and steadfastly stood against Satan's temptations. So Peter would have been familiar with Jesus' strength and faithfulness in rejecting the power of evil. And then Jesus just verbally smacks Peter in the face by saying, "You are a stumbling block to me." Wow, that had to have hurt. You know, that old adage about sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. That is not true, and we all know that. Words sting. Words hurt. They cut like a knife. That must have just pierced Peter's heart to be spoken to in such a manner by the person he admired most. A stumbling block. It's kind of ironic, don't you think, that the name Peter means rock? And we think of Peter as being the rock, the solid foundation upon which Jesus built his church. Not a rock that gets in the way, that hinders one's progress. A boulder that proves to be a barrier, a roadblock. And sadly, it is not the only time that Jesus will address Peter so harshly. Peter got away again in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Peter pulled out a sword and started swinging. And eventually he cut the ear off of one of the soldiers. And I'm sure Peter was thinking he needed to save Jesus from persecution. He wanted to protect Jesus. But there was no way he was going to cancel the crucifixion. "Get behind me, Satan," Jesus again rebukes Peter. And on the way from Gethsemane to the high priest's courtyard, Peter follows, but at a distance. But still he follows. Even bound and captured, Jesus is in the lead. According to the definitive plan and foreknowledge of God, this Lenten road is leading directly to the cross, in spite of Peter's objections and attempts to bypass it altogether. Jesus says that Peter's assignment, in fact, is not to avoid the cross, but to take it up, to make it visible, to glory in it, to lift it high, and to follow. And that's the important word, follow. We do it wrong if we seek to lead, if we get out ahead of Christ. In that location, we most likely will become roadblocks, hindering the mission of our Lord and his purpose for our lives. And we might possibly find the road we are taking to be a dead end. Where do you go if you insist on taking the lead? Adam and Eve can answer that. So can the prodigal son and Peter. And so we follow with the cross of Jesus going on before. And that's important too, the cross of Jesus. That is our inspiration and our motivation for following Jesus. True, Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. But our cross has meaning only in as much as we bear it following him. We do not follow irresponsibly, but realizing that our Lord has a plan for us, a place for us in the procession, an obligation that might not be fulfilled if we are not there to take it up and carry it. We follow because he has called us to. And that, finally, is the outcome. He has called and given us the grace to respond. He hands us our crosses and sets us on our way. But we do not walk that way alone. We follow Christ through the gates of death and into the warm embrace of our loving God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.